Continental Media 0507 now begins. Recorded July 31st, 2005. This is the more or less monthly supplement to the weekly program World of Radio. Continental Media is made possible by Universal Radio for quality amateur and shortwave equipment. They have a new catalog available at 1-800-431-3939 or check their website www.universal-radio.com. This 108-page catalog includes new items such as the Eton E1XM portable shortwave receiver, some amateur transceivers, shortwave-defined shortwave receivers, Bearcat scanners, and Tivoli Audio AM/FM receivers. By the way, I received an unsolicited testimonial from Ed Stone in New York, who says, "I'd never bought anything from Universal before, but it was a pleasant experience from start to finish. They handled my order very professionally. Barbara even called before shipping it to check that I was getting exactly the options I wanted in my new ICOM R75 and that it was being shipped exactly the way I asked. It's nice doing business with a firm that values its customers." Continent of Media is about the media around the American continent, not especially shortwave. Here's a shortwave tie-in between the Voice of America and Brazil. According to an item from Celi Romage in Porto Alegre, Brazil, a former announcer on the Voice of America Brazilian service, Elio Costa, is now in the Brazilian government. He's Senator Elio Costa and Brazilian DXers such as Cassiano Macedo on the Radio Escutas list. We're hoping, since he's familiar with international broadcasting, he might be persuaded to help get Radio Braz back in the external shortwave service. Check Senator Costa's website for his background, www.heliocosta.com. You can hardly listen to Radio Havana, Cuba for more than 5 minutes without hearing them talk about the five Cuban political prisoners unjustly held in the U.S., something few Americans have even heard about. I don't know whether it's just or not, but I do know that Radio Havana never talks about the political prisoners they are holding in Cuba. So for just a little bit of balance on the shortwave bands when this is heard, I would like to read a release, part of it, from Reporters Without Frontiers, a press release of July 20th via BBC Monitoring. Reporters Without Borders voiced alarm about the fate of imprisoned journalist Mario Enrique Mayo Hernandez, who has announced that he began a hunger strike on July 14th and will starve himself to death if he is not released soon. The editor of the Felix Varela News Agency, a small independent agency based in Camagüey, Mayo Hernandez has been in prison since March 2003. Reporters Without Borders said, "We take his warning seriously, and the Cuban government would be well advised to do so as well. Must the government wait until one of the 21 journalists held since the Black Spring of 2003 dies before it finally agrees to release the others?" By committing himself to an indefinite hunger strike, Mayo Hernandez is representing all of his fellow journalists and other dissidents who've been convicted without cause and pushed to their limit by more than 2 years of detention in filthy prisons. His desperate act calls for an urgent pardon for him and all the Black Spring's other victims, even if this means pardoning innocent men. Here's part of his statement via his wife in translation. "I was imprisoned just for freely saying what I think and for practicing independent journalism on this island. I've never lied about human rights violations in Cuba. This is why I will maintain my hunger strike until I obtain my freedom or I die. If death is the price to pay, I am ready to pay it. But I want the world to know that nothing short of freedom will now be able to stop me." Mayo Hernandez was sentenced on 4 April 2003 to 20 years in prison for threat to the state's independence or territorial integrity. He's been transferred from prison to prison 4 times and has been in Kilo 7 prison in Camagüey since June 21st. He's had several spells in prison infirmaries or hospital because of his many ailments, including pulmonary emphysema, high blood pressure, and inflammation of the prostate. He already went on hunger strike for a month in November to protest prison conditions and mistreatment by guards. Bob Foxworth in Tampa, Florida, has been trying to hear the airborne transmission of Radio Marti on 530 kilohertz. It's on the air some Saturdays, starting at 2200 UT. And he succeeded on July 16th and reported to Hardcore DX his observations. When Revelde was severely weakened on the same frequency, Marti was atop for much of the time, but we were pounded with local thunderstorms, and the incessant static chopped up a lot of the audio. At one point, a tape of a speech from Don Máximo Líder el Viejo, with a sentence-by-sentence commentary spliced in, was read by someone with a contrasting point of view. I caught IDs on a handheld Micro 43, acoustically, in my truck. My location in western Hillsborough County is somewhat inland, and I notice a definite slow variation in signal which seems to really peak up two or three times per hour, ranging from near inaudible to fairly strong, but would have still been way under the normal big Revelde gas bag if they were optimum. My best guess is that this slow variation, this was way before sunset, is due to slow orbiting of the EC-130 in airspace north of La Habana, the trailing long wire with a 500-pound stabilizer weight, creating a distinctly non-symmetrical pattern, which varies for me as the plane turns. Or else they fly east and then return and go far enough to the east so that the land projection near Venice and Sarasota starts shielding the signal compared to the all-water path from Pinar east to Havana. This is all just speculation, but I guess they try to stay close into the capital area, but well outside the 12-mile limit. A report from a coastal area DXer near here shows a solid non-varying signal level on them tonight, so perhaps a different polarization wavefront reaching me and my car radio vertical whip antenna. I note the same 2 hertz subaudible heterodyne as before when the signal was buried under Revelde, but with the same cyclic slow fading. No evidence of Turks and Caicos ever noted here during the daytime. Thanks to someone calling herself Perestroika Marti for sending us a long article from La Nueva Cuba about TV and Radio Marti. This appears in DX Listening Digest 5114, just a brief excerpt. The BBG has acted as if everything were running smoothly, the very avatar of bureaucratic nonchalance. It now appears they are quite taken by the new TV Marti circling plane idea, so much so that they've once again tellingly evaluated TV Marti's readiness through a look at the potency of its signal rather than by the content of its message. The programming, which can kindly be described as outdated, barely hides ulterior motives that stray from its mandate into the minefield of propaganda, including a most unclever comedy that mimics present-day Cuba and its problems. One wonders how the U.S. intersection and the State Department interpret the material that, whether seen or not, is being aired. For instance, one of the new programs created after the recent ousting of the original TV Marti director, Antonio Diegues, is literally called Dare to Dream. As the name implies, the program attempts to challenge the one-man rule on the island by illustrating for Cubans something they would appear not to know on their own by now, that in the U.S., hard work and some luck can result in making the so-called American dream come true. I'd like to remind you of what is probably the rarest Latin American country on shortwave, El Salvador. There is a station, Radio Imperial, which is very occasionally picked up on the 16-meter band. Its frequency varies somewhere between 17.838 and 17.839, but it's extremely weak. In fact, I imagine that they may have only a few watts of power, even if they're on the air constantly, which is also doubtful. If you keep checking that range, you may at least hear a carrier, and if you're lucky, some audio in Spanish, as Harold Froge in Michigan did, reporting to the Mayor Tip Sheet. This was on July 5th, around 17.30 UT. For many months now, we've been hearing the same film music occasionally on Radio Canada International. It's someone playing the piano, and it sounds like Scott Joplin. But they're not all rags. There's some waltzes and some marches. This occurs when there is local news on CBC, and RCI fills that minute or two. I'm currently hearing it only for about 1 minute, which means only a fragment of any given selection. For example, at 1304, 1330, 1404, and 1430 UT. I asked Bill Westenhaver about this. He works at RCI, so he got out the CD, which is in use, and sent me the information. It's called Marches, Waltzes, and Rags of Scott Joplin, performed by William Albright. It's a 1993 release on Music Masters Classics. There are 18 different selections, with interesting titles. It would be interesting to try to pair them up with what we hear occasionally. The Crush Collision March, Harmony Club Waltz, Combination March, Swipesy Cakewalk, Augustan Club Waltz, Sunflower Slow Drag, Cleopha, March Majestic, Something Doing, Bethina, Rosebud, Binks Waltz, Antoinette, Heliotrope Bouquet, Lily Queen, Pleasant Moments, Felicity Rag, and the Kismet Rag. It seems the CD is playing continuously, and they just pot it up whenever needed to fill a minute or two. I hear it in the mornings. They may use it at other times as well. In the mornings, the frequencies are, of course, 9515, 13655, and 17800. This item from Greg Hardison's broadcast band update in mid-July. Pending FCC approval, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 1547, is spending a cool half megadollar to purchase its own radio station. KUDO 1080 in Anchorage, Alaska, would then become the second commercial station in known history to fall under full union ownership. The first, of course, was WCFL 1000 in Chicago, owned for 5 decades by the Chicago Federation of Labor, and it was one of the top rock stations in the eastern half. KUDO features a talk format based on nationally distributed liberal offerings, along with local conservative Jack Frost, and some sports coverage. The union has formed IBEW Investments, a subsidiary, to make the transition a reality. Reportedly $160,000 for the station itself and over $300,000 in planned improvements. The current programming lineup includes Lib Babe Stephanie Miller, along with Air America's Al Franken, syndicated lefty Ed Schultz, and Evenings with Lionel distributed by WOR in New York. Bill Harms in Maryland, who I think must have been born or lived for some time in Spokane, Washington, says, I'm working on a website dealing with the history of broadcasting in Spokane. I've posted numerous pages with lots of interesting info. Some things are copies of old QSLs. Pictures of many of the stations and towers, and histories of several stations taken from archives left by old-time Spokane radio people, some dating back to the early 20s. Feedback appreciated. Some of the pages are incomplete because I'm still adding things. The URL is spokane.philcobill.com. His nickname, I guess, P-H-I-L-C-O-B-I-L-L. Bill also tells me he visited Spokane in June and took some pictures and surveys of radio stations there. One of the most interesting facilities is KSBN 1230, which transmits from the top of the Delaney Building at 242 West Riverside. Although I think it's fairly common in Latin America and elsewhere, there are very few American stations anymore on AM which have their towers atop buildings. Bill explains that on medium wave, the length of the counterpoise radials becomes problematic when suspended in the air. This was also the case for stations in rural locations 30 to 60 years ago, being encroached by suburban sprawl now. In the ABDX group, Tim Hall in California, who does a lot of traveling around the West, talks about some beverage sites in Utah. There are tons of small towns that offer better DX conditions than a big town like Salt Lake City. Try staying at the Border Inn on US 6 and 50 on the Nevada border. You can visit Great Basin National Park, tour the Lehman Caves during the day, and at night you can run a beverage antenna for miles to the east or southeast. The accommodations are a bit old, but there are a few nice restaurants in nearby Baker, Nevada. Teasdale, Utah is a nice place to stay, too. We stay on a farm there that has a few motel rooms and a cabin from which you can run wires for a few hundred feet to the east or west. Capitol Reef National Park and Scenic Byway 12 are nearby. Also on the ABDX list, Michael Richard in Wyoming, Evanston, I think, notes a new construction permit or license for a station on 104.7 in Lyman, Wyoming. He says, you tell me why FCC actually grants boosters to a station licensed to cover Lyman, Wyoming, because they complain they can't reach Salt Lake City, Utah. Lyman is 40 miles east of me, and I'm 75 miles from Salt Lake City in Ogden. Imagine a station being a Salt Lake City station licensed to a city some 115 miles away. It's a big, ugly rimshot thing that's going on. It's a mess, and there's more to come, all part of the Humpy Peak conspiracy, There are now four stations on the air up there. Humpy Peak is way up in the Uinta Mountains, about 30 miles south of here. There are four stations already, and they all do the same thing. They're licensed to a town somewhere else, Randolph, Utah, Evanston, Wyoming, Oakley, Utah, or Colville, Utah, and then tell the FCC they can't reach Salt Lake, so they need boosters down there. The FCC says, oh, so sorry to hear you can't reach Salt Lake City because of the mountains. I guess you need some on-channel boosters. And bang, you have a rim shot. The Lyman station is just one of at least two or three more that are planned in the near future, including one that will be the demise of KNYN 99.1, Fort Bridger, Wyoming. It's the station I'm on the air on right now doing my midday shift. Once that station goes away, Evanston will be left with no local FM. I don't know what we're going to do. Latest talks have pointed to possibly putting a translator on the air here in Evanston for one of the Kemmerer FMs that we are leasing, then operate it from here. But for now, KNYN's days are numbered because the station is moving down to Smithfield, Utah, and the Smithfield station is moving up here to go on Humpy Peak. Salt Lake City Metro has more stations per capita than any market in the country. Now you can see why. We are in the midst of Continent of Media 0507. Your comments and contributions always welcome to P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702 USA, or WORADIO at yahoo.com. For reference to the stories we mention, if you'd like to read much more, check the summary for this Continent of Media 0507 via worldofradio.com. U.S. military on 10 meters, it sure looks like it. Several hams were puzzled by the appearance of call signs E-2A and G-7X in what was definitely military-style automatic link establishment on 28-400 kilohertz, a busy part of the 10-meter ham band. These were first thought to be amateurs trying ALE, which is perfectly legal, if a bit hard on amateur-grade transceivers. Then the same net turned up with ALE on 14900 kHz and other frequencies known to be used by the U.S. Army and National Guard. Other calls included USA and USAAD. The latter could stand for a number of things, but it could be U.S. Air Ambulance Detachment of the 158th Army Aviation Regiment, supporting the Army's 10th Mountain Division, elements of which served in Afghanistan, Iraq, and Djibouti. So says Hugh Stegman in his HF Communications column in the August Monitoring Times. Another military item on the Media Network blog, July 6th, Andy Sennett posted something from Defense Link News. The state of Arizona is making news by broadcasting the Pentagon Channel, a military news and info TV channel, over the public airwaves. John Keegan, mayor of Peoria, Arizona, is spearheading efforts to broadcast the Pentagon Channel statewide on cable TV. He feels it would be beneficial to the state because there are so many military communities in Arizona, and it would benefit the civilian community because not as many families today have members in the military, and therefore less of an appreciation for what service members go through. Well, this is slightly misleading. If it's on cable, it's not broadcast, and certainly not on the public airwaves. It's incredible that some writers cannot grasp the distinction. In the Mayor Tip Sheet of July 21st, Harold Froge gives a good summary of the current pirate frequency situation on shortwave in North America. Pirates change their favored frequency every few years as interference creeps in. For many years in the 80s, 7415 was the frequency. Broadcasters moved in, namely VOA, and pirates moved to 6955. Peru and Utility QRM pushed them down to 6925 for the past few years. Pirate pileup on 6925 has spawned a new phenomenon for a few months now, use of many frequencies. You can now find pirates spread over 6800 to 7000, plus numerous other frequencies are being reported for use and testing, including 4000 to 4050, 5400, 7500, 8000, and 9290 to 9320. On occasion, you might also find something around 11400, 13900, 15800, and 21800. Favorite area for Euro pirates remains 6200 to 6350. For a change, it'll take some real DXing to catch a lot of shortwave pirates. And FM pirates generally hang out near the bottom end of the FM broadcast band. Now here's a roundup of items concerning the X-band, 1610 to 1710 kilohertz. Jan Alvestad, somewhere in Europe, reported hearing a station on 1610.34 kilohertz, probably from Peru, but couldn't get an ID for sure. Buren Malm in Ecuador listened and confirmed it was, in fact, Radio Akira, H-A-Q-U-I-R-A, in Cotabambas, Apurimac, Peru. Several months ago, we had an item about a station in the Phoenix, Arizona area, KFHX, on 1620 kilohertz, actually a low-power station in Fountain Hills, Arizona. Now Rick Barton in the area tells DX Listening Digest that it's no longer heard on 1620. However, their website shows a different frequency, 1250 kilohertz. However, he drove through the middle of Fountain Hills and could not hear it on either frequency. A low-power station in Pennsylvania on 1620 is carrying out a daily DX test, including code IDs, for 4 minutes only in the middle of the night. According to Dave Schmidt, via Paul Swearingen on the NRC AM list, it's WNAR 1620 in Lansdale, Pennsylvania, at 3 a.m. Eastern Time, 0700 UT. This will continue daily, he says, until further notice. The power is a full 100 milliwatts. It has been heard almost 5 miles from Lansdale, so it does get out very well for its power. Let's see who else can hear it. Full station info is at www.wnar-am.com. It'll soon be blocked by a new station in Toms River, New Jersey, on the same frequency. That is, if it actually gets on the air. The AM switch column in NRC DX News, Bill Hale reports. This from the FCC, application reinstated for 10 kilowatts day, 1 kilowatt night at Toms River, New Jersey, on an existing 360-foot land mobile tower, the 1620 antenna consisting of a folded unipole 20 feet above ground level with 6 radials at 20 feet above ground. Now, that's just an application which has recently been reinstated. This from Dale Rothert in Ohio. Hi Glenn, while stopped in the Columbus area, I tuned around the car radio and found the Solid Waste Authority of Central Ohio station on 1630. They broadcast a continuous loop of solid waste and recycle information. Call sign WPYF783. First time I've heard a landfill with a radio station, really strange, and the website is www.swaco.org. Swaco, I guess that's pronounced. Here's another application which has been reinstated. 1690 in Charlotte, Amalia, Virgin Islands, U.S. Also 10 kilowatts day, 1 kilowatt night. It would be diplexed into the WGOD 1090 tower, according to Bill Hale at NRC. We can look forward to that since the other Virgin Islands station in the X-band on 1620 gets out worldwide. On the SW programs list, Rich Cuff prompted a discussion of what's your favorite programming on U.S. shortwave stations. David Gorin replied, I like hearing Unshackled on WYFR, an authentic throwback to the days of commercial radio drama. It's been airing since 1951, and the Pacific Garden Mission started the program to reach a commercial radio audience. It was initially aired live on WGN. It was started by professional radio drama actors, and after some early mishaps with Christian non-actors playing roles, PGM has made it a point of pride to use pro actors regardless of their belief. It's quite a pool to draw from for the weekly Saturday tapings. There are also live music cues played by a rotating team of two organists, a live sound effects man, and some staff members that have been around for almost the whole run. I was fortunate to attend a performance about 4 years ago, a very memorable experience, and I was well treated by the Unshackled team, says David Gorin. Well, I don't know when it's on WIFR, but I see in the current WWCR schedule it is scheduled on the 2nd, 4th, and 5th Tuesdays at 1235 UT on 15825. I think it's a filler program which is likely to move around where needed. Will Martin in Missouri adds, I like that too, and Herald of Truth at 0415 UT weekdays on WBCQ 7415 in a mostly vain hope to hear something current from the right-wing crazies. but they keep airing ancient repeats from the mid-20th century and rant about the dangers of the onslaught of communism. Now and then they do air something explicitly about their religious position and explain Christian identity. If they devote more time to the anthropological aspects of that, it would be more interesting. American Dissident Voices on WWRB, followed by a 30-minute Herald of Truth, Kingdom Identity, Saturday at 2200 and UT Sunday at 0300 on 5085. Again, to hear what the right-wing crazies are up to. It used to be better before the recent putsch, when the famous Kevin Alfred Strom, who has a wonderful radio voice, was forced out and banished. The current announcer has an indifferent voice. Greg Hardison in Los Angeles refers us to a Baptist parody site I hope you'll enjoy as much as I do. It's www.landoverbaptist.org. A couple of new cable TV channels. Clara Lichtenspreken reminds us that Al Gore's new venture should be underway August 1st. It's Current TV. Check the website www.current.tv/index.php. I checked a few days earlier, and they were already functioning online with blogs and so forth. But I'll bet we never see it on basic cable here. BBC Monitoring forwards a press release from the Africa Channel, based in Los Angeles, a new independent cable TV network showcasing the rich and diverse perspectives of the people of the African continent. It's set to launch in the third quarter of this year, which means sometime before September 30th. Among its backers is Ambassador Andrew Young. They launched with more than 1,200 hours of original and first-run English-language programming, including news and info, travel and lifestyle, music, feature films, soaps, talk, reality, and special events. It's in partnership with Cox Communications, which means I guess we have a chance of seeing it in Enid if Cox hasn't sold out their franchise here by then. Andy Sennett Media Networks says the website is www.theafricachannel.com. I had a look, and it has some great graphics already and lots of content on their website. Finally, about a show I had never heard or heard of until there was news in Current that he was denied a CPB grant to continue, Benjamin Walker's Theory of Everything. He does have archives of 24 half-hour shows. I listened to the latest one about Dissent the American Way and was quite impressed. It's www.toeradio.com. Much more info at our website, worldofradio.org. Glenn Hauser here concluding, Continental Media 0507. Released later as World of Radio Extra 61.